his final instruction in the stages of mindfulness, which is relating to the support. And two is seeing how you got on with your second reflection, which was what? My willing to pay the price. Should we try both? Which do you want to start with?
Mindfulness.
It's much easier, isn't it? Okay, so if we rerun, the reason we train in mindfulness is that we understand the mind has a certain potential, but that potential can't be realized while the mind runs wild. How does the mind run wild? It's unsettled and it's distracted. Both those conditions are present. We have difficulty coming into focus in the moment, and we have difficulty remaining present in the moment. And being in the moment implies knowing what is happening while it's happening. So there's an element of being in touch. Being in touch not only with the sounds and experiences around us, but being in touch with what's happening inwardly. The arising, the appearing of thoughts, emotions, moods, mind states. Those are the movements within the internal environment. So our mindfulness training requires a certain level of understanding of the territory. That is, it's an inward territory and an outward territory. So we train ourselves to come into focus in the moment. As soon as we do this, what we will realize, if we're at all alert, is that the mind is dominated by preference. So it may be willing to come into the moment if the moment is nice, if it can enjoy it, if it meets preference. If it doesn't, then the mind most definitely does not want to be in the moment. It doesn't want to be here. And it has many skillful ways of not being here. Such as what, would you say?
Daydreaming,
good. Fantasizing.
Planning.
Suppressing. Planning.
Sleeping.
That's a good one. Many, many different things. So, generally, those fall into the category of distraction. Distraction, the word implies, it pulls away from here to somewhere else. Pulling away. Preferring to be somewhere else. Even into a place of not knowing. In fact, very much into a place of not knowing. So there is that aspect. Then the other aspect we slowly become aware of is that a huge amount of the activity within the mind is involuntary. That is, it happens by itself. Very important to understand this, because when you do understand it, you realize the mind is not making choices in this moment about whether thought will appear or not. So thoughts will appear in our minds without choice, without our wanting them to, without our inviting them to. Generally, they will appear by themselves due to what?
Energy.
Energy pushed by what?
The subliminal.
Huh?
The subliminal stuff.
Habitual tendency. Huh?
Yes.
Habit. Playing out of habit. So we have very, very strong habitual tendencies which keep us going, having thoughts. They will arise due to habit. When we understand that, we understand the point Pat made, and that is suppression is not going to work. I think it was you, wasn't it, Pat? Yes, you're so clever. Suppression is not going to work. And I say this because a huge number of people think that meditation or mindfulness or any form of mind training involves getting rid of thoughts. And that phrase is often used. Get rid of thoughts. Empty your mind. Calm yourself. All those attitudes will definitely lead to suppression, because the untrained mind has no other option than to suppress if it wants to change its internal environment. Because the untrained mind is unable to work skillfully with the appearance of thought. The reason is, as thoughts appear in our minds, there is an involuntary reflex. Do you all know now what an involuntary reflex is? I went over it, didn't I? That is something that happens automatically without choice, by itself. There's an involuntary reflex in the mind that drives us to engage the thought as it arises. Now, mostly you won't see this because A, it happens very, very quickly, and B, it is a subliminal reflex. And until you develop subliminal awareness, and still until you start penetrating that layer of your mind with awareness, you won't actually know that this is there. So the thought appears in the mind, this involuntary reflex kicks in instantaneously, and we engage the thought. The consequence is, most of us have never experienced thought on its own. We've always only experienced thought once you've engaged it, which is what? Thinking. Therefore, the average person only knows about thinking. They have no understanding of the fact that thought actually appears as an objective, independent entity within the mind. It's an appearance. Just like sound is a manifestation externally. You know that. You know sound comes to you externally. And you know that you only become aware of sound when you hear it. And then you know you have a choice whether to listen or not. Sometimes we listen and we become involved with sounds. So you hear the birds and you think, oh, that's a nice sound. So you listen, you become involved. Then 3 o'clock in the morning, the neighbor's dog wakes you up. And you don't want to listen, but you do listen. And you get more and more and more angry. And you can't get back to sleep.
Yesterday you talked about the six senses.
Yes.
And the six senses is the mind.
The sixth is the mind.
Is sound is to the ear what the thought is to the sense of the mind?
Absolutely, correct. Did you hear about the guy who was phoned by his neighbor at 3 o'clock in the morning? So he picks up the phone. Of course, he was still half asleep. And the neighbor says, will you please call your dog in? He's been barking for the last hour and I can't get back to sleep. So the guy says, oh, very sorry. Yes, I'll go and call him. Puts the phone down. His dog's right there next to him, fast asleep by the telephone. So he thought this was a bit much. Anyway, goes back to bed. Wakes up the next morning. You think, no. It wasn't good. So he sets his alarm clock for 3 o'clock. Gets up, phones his neighbor. Neighbor says, oh, morning. Oh, what? Was not my dog. That was waiting in ambush. Now, that was creating the ambush. Yeah.